Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Dang it, Michael. I thought you heard me call for a clip. We are off our game today. Well, I'm sick. I blame myself for being sick. Yes, we need...
We all blame you, Jack.
That's fine. We need clip 65, please, Michael.
The president's been silent on another big issue. Extremist protesters chanting death to America, death to Israel in Dearborn, Michigan, Friday.
Does the president condemn that?
Yes.
Should we expect a statement from the president on that, though? I mean, it was a pretty significant display.
I mean, you're hearing from me. I think that's important.
In February, it took only 2 days for Biden to denounce a Wall Street Journal op-ed calling Dearborn America's jihad capital.
Interesting. Yeah, we all know what's going on there. So they're desperate to try to hang on to some of the Arab vote, Muslim vote in Michigan. And so they're allowing these various rallies to occur where they're saying just awful things about the United States of America, worst country on earth, worst country that's ever existed, et cetera, et cetera. Chanting death to America, death to Israel. And I think it's a pass, I guess.
If you but got the contrast some... there, I thought was well pointed out that when the Wall Street Journal editorial board, which is a sober group, called that area because it is a hotbed of radical Islam in the United States, called it America's jihad capital. Within 2 days, the president was decrying that from his bully pulpit. This I didn't notice, didn't hear about it.
Well, and remember, the whole reason Joe Biden says he ran for president at all in the first place was when he saw that march in Charlottesville, where he had the numb nuts racists, you know, right. Decent people on both sides, Trump thing, that whole thing. They were whatever they were, anti-Jew, anti-black, whatever they were, marching with their tiki torches. But that got him so stirred up. He was so bothered by that, he had to run for president. Now you got people chanting death to America, who hate America and all kinds of different people and hate the Jews also. And that doesn't, for a variety of reasons that Joe already pointed out, doesn't move the needle. To that story, reading from the Dispatch coverage, and this includes some quotes from that Univision interview that Joe Biden did yesterday. Joe Biden yesterday criticized Israel's strike on the World Central Kitchen vehicles and called on Israel to implement a 6 to 8 week humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, which of course would benefit Hamas greatly. Here's the quote. I think it's outrageous that these three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out on a highway where it was along the shore. It wasn't like it was a convoy moving, Biden said in an interview with Univision. What I'm calling for is...
I got to stop you there. This reminds me of this Sheila Jackson Lee tape we played earlier in the show. There was either stupid there or incomprehensible. It was moving along the shore, not like a convoy. What the hell does that mean? There are highways near shores, and convoys are, by definition, multiple vehicles moving together. What is he trying to say?
I know I've got a little more on that I just learned yesterday in a second. But okay. Back to the Biden quote. I think it's outrageous that these three vehicles were hit by drones taken out on a highway where it was along the shore. It wasn't like a convoy moving. You're right. That doesn't make any sense. What I'm calling for is the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire. Allow for the next 6 to 8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. Okay, well, that would be to a great benefit to Hamas, probably. And again, we're just overlooking the fact that you accidentally killed a couple of families in Afghanistan, and your boss, Barack Obama, killed 40 doctors and patients from the Doctors Without Borders in Afghanistan when he was president. And it was a mistake, and we said we're sorry, but it happens. The idea that you need to radically alter what you're doing because of that? Okay, well, we didn't. You're holding Israel to a different standard than you held yourself, is the point there. I just heard this the other day. Now, you never know what is true and what is not, but I heard somebody describing the way it works in Israel right now with this aid. Hamas controls the country. They are the elected government, and right now they're just they're the local armed militia that controls everything. And they don't allow anything into the country without them escorting it around. So these food convoys, trucks, whatever you want to call them, when they come in, Hamas has trucks on either end of them, allowing them to cross into the border and like traveling with them. And then they peel off when the convoys get to their distribution point or whatever. But so you have Hamas vehicles mixed in with these vehicles regularly, and Israel knows it. And they do that on purpose to try to make it confusing as they're moving people around, moving equipment around, moving Hamas fighters around and that sort of stuff. They try to make it difficult. The point that everything that happens is Hamas's fault is absolutely accurate by even international law.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they intentionally move their fighters via ambulance or food convoy or with doctors or whatever. Again, because either their fighters get where they're going because the Israelis hold back or are not aware of them, or they score publicity when, say, food aid workers are killed accidentally. Yeah, claiming that Israel could have easily prevented it and this sort of thing never happens is the worst, most dishonest, immoral sort of pandering. It's absolutely terrible.
So here's something that I hadn't actually heard until just a little bit ago, or hadn't read. This is from Tom Friedman in the New York Times. Right here. The Biden foreign policy team, led by Secretary of State Antony Blinken, they've just finished working out the draft of a new strategic deal with Saudi Arabia. We talked about this last week. Including a civil nuclear program, advanced arms, and much deeper security ties. The deal, a senior Biden administration official told Tom Friedman, could be wrapped up in a matter of weeks, but for one element, it hinges on Saudi Arabia normalizing relations with Israel in return for Israel ending the war in Gaza, getting out of the strip and agreeing to a defined pathway for a two-state outcome. With clear metrics in terms of what both Israel and Palestinian Authority would have to do and in what time frames. I can't imagine that ever coming together, can you?
No. I mean, number one, Hamas would have to assent to that and then get out of the way. Let's go ahead and stop right there. It's doomed. If somehow they pull that off, and they can't, then you're leaning on the Palestinian Authority to, out of nowhere, after decades, become a non-mobbed-up, utterly corrupt, force for good that will work with the Israelis. The Palestinian Authority finances for life anyone who commits jihad against the Jews and kills them.
And according to polling, and who knows how accurate it is, something like 80% of Palestinians do not want a two-state solution. What they want is for Israel to go away. cease to exist.
I've made the point many times that when you're looking at foreign policy, remember that that's domestic policy. It's politics. It's all about winning elections. This is the most extreme example I've seen that I can recall in my life of observing this stuff. The Biden administration calling for, demanding that which is utterly impossible, and they know it to be impossible. And if even, you know, incremental steps are made in the direction of the impossible, it will cost many lives of one of our dearest allies. It's one of the worst, most, again, immoral, you know, sessions of pandering I've ever seen in my life.
Right. And they're kind of getting away with it right now. The doing, you know, speaking out of both sides of their mouth, where we're funding Israel, we're giving all the 2,000-pound bombs and everything they need, while acting like it's just outrageous that they haven't. But this is going to come to a head where world opinion, and certainly young people opinion in the United States, is going to only hear what you're saying and believe you mean it and be outraged when Israel goes ahead, which they're going to do, and goes into Rafah and wipes out the rest of Hamas. That's going to happen.
And I think the Biden administration is trying to buy time till November.
And the Biden administration has now set an expectation for the crowd that thinks that doesn't need to happen, that's doable, that's what we expect. I don't think Joe Biden even actually expects it himself, but he's set this up in such a way that it's going to explode. I suppose that's not a good term to use in a war. No. It's going to really, really be damaging rhetorically. People have their expectations that Joe Biden actually means this stuff and has the power to stop Israel from going in. They're going to go in. They're going to kill lots of people. Lots of innocent people are going to die because it's the most complicated urban warfare environment some people have ever seen in the history of warfare. There are 1.5 million people clustered around the last remaining, nobody knows for sure, 10 to 15,000 Hamas fighters. It's going to be ugly. And Joe Biden's acted like, nope, it's going to stop. It needs to stop. That's the only right thing to do.
And then we can have a two-state solution.
Yay! The next couple of weeks could be really ugly.
Do we have time to mention the Biden administration's new State Department diversity chief? Speaking of America's foreign policy, Secretary of State Blinken announced last week the appointment of Zakiya Carr Johnson as the chief diversity and inclusion officer. Blinken touted that she would bring expertise and a fresh perspective on how we build a workforce that reflects America. This is a gal who has said the following things. Let's see. She's a DEI consultant, has run two relatively obscure companies, including one called Black Women Disrupt, an initiative YouTube channel. We don't have time to describe it. She embraces a feminist leadership style, one that counters white-centered feminism trends and narratives. She said in a feminist webinar recently, quote, because we live and work within systems so deeply rooted in patriarchy and colonialism and racism and otherism, we tend to be very resistant to shifts and changes. It's very uncomfortable for many colleagues. A culture of misogyny has allowed men to act without consequence, etc., etc. And essentially, she has called for, let me get to the good part, we need to dismantle all of the systems of this country. I'm determined to contribute to this effort. This commitment is not merely about representation, but how we leverage that space to make lasting change. We cannot have equity without dismantling structural racism, patriarchy, and heterosexism. It will start with movements that compel us to ask uncomfortable questions. What does inclusion mean, for example, if white supremacy remains intact?
With the world on fire the way it is and about to explode in the ways we were just describing, how in the hell do we have time and energy for any of this crap? If the Secretary of State is spending a second thinking about this, it's too much.
Yeah, yeah. She has called for dismantling of all of the systems, all of the institutions of the United States of America. There are a hell of a lot of people around the country who are thinking, Trump scares me. Trump is a nut. Trump is an egomaniac. But this stuff scares me more. We've got to stop this stuff in our schools, in our government, in our corporations. And they have a point.
Welcome to the spicy times. Things are getting weird, and they're getting weird fast. Oh, my God. More on the way. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Elon Musk tweeted out this meme that I really like. Of the people who confuse correlation and causation, 100% of them end up dying.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good. I just was reading about Elon's feud with the courts in Brazil. It is very interesting. We don't have time to get into it now, but it's it has to do with, in large measure, government getting involved in stomping out disinformation. And how whenever you give somebody the power to do that, they always abuse it. But more on that perhaps later. I am occasionally asked, am asked about the quote-unquote secrets to being in a long, happy marriage, as I am privileged to be in one. 37 years? We're married when we were 10. We had to get our grandparents' permission because our parents were just in their teens. Anyway, try that math on. The answer, the brief answer is you've got to make that a very high priority in your life and get very, very lucky in a lot of different ways. Personality-wise, for instance. Just choose each other well and get lucky. But I've become aware in reading this Wall Street Journal article that evidently that how to load the dishwasher is a big issue for a lot of couples.
Oh, boy.
It's the source of strife and arguments and disagreement. And I'm like, really? Human beings can argue over anything, I guess, but...
I've never argued about it in my life, but I do have a certain way I do it. And any other way seems crazy.
Right. I picture you as a meticulous loader of the dishwasher.
I am. I've got a special certain way to do it.
Right, right. That does not surprise me. I've gleaned from this article because I am not a meticulous guy in a lot of my life. I'm certainly more relaxed about stuff. Whatever is fine. I consider pickiness a flaw, at least in some, in most realms of life, which is odd because I've got like 780 pet peeves. But it never even occurred to me to load the dishwasher anyway, but you put all the placement there, and then the bowls are there, because that's what it's made for. But I guess there are some people who just load it willy-nilly, just wherever anything fits.
You're a psychopath.
Well, and that anybody who insists on putting these there and those there as like dictatorial Nazi issues going on. Which is so funny. There is a majority of Americans, 65%, agree that there's a right way and a wrong way to load the dishwasher. According to the folks at YouGov who polled this, another poll said the average American household has 18 arguments a month over dishes.
Well, I don't think I've ever argued about dishes.
Dish-related issues, from leaving them in the sink to who should wash them to who should empty the dishwasher, that sort of thing.
I always loaded it and unloaded it, so it never became an issue.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of people have a certain way to do it, though. Yeah, they're just haphazardly putting stuff in there. That just seems crazy to me. That makes me uncomfortable just sitting here that happens.
I know. Isn't that funny? Now, I would say once it's mostly loaded, it's time to run it, and there's room for a few more things. Sure. Then you get creative.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But if you start with just randomly putting stuff in there?
It's the same way you build a society based on laws and logic and ancient wisdom and layer some creativity on top of that. But you don't start with the dreamers. Don't have dreamers write your constitution. Put the bowls over there where they belong.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
A couple of things we could certainly talk more about. Headlines of the day. Washington Post reporting Iran is closer to a nuclear weapon than they've ever been. They could come up with the nuclear material for a weapon within days, according to the Washington Post. Within a month, they could build a crude nuclear weapon, although a deliverable missile that they could send it somewhere could take a couple of years. But, you know, maybe they don't need to shoot it somewhere. Maybe they just get it on a boat somewhere. So,
well, anyway, I'm sure they're on the phone to Fathead in North Korea right now asking them how much for one of your missiles.
Right. A couple of other stories that definitely could affect the presidential election. So I thought, Trump thought, he may have kind of tabled the abortion issue by announcing the other day, I'm going to leave it to the states, and hopefully that ends the conversation, at least a little bit, leading up to the election. Then the next day, the Arizona Supreme Court decides to take them back to the original 1864 abortion law that they have in the state of Arizona, criminalizing really all abortions except for in the life of a mother. So that
was before Arizona was founded as a state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The original judge that wrote the abortion law that Arizona is now using was appointed by Abraham Lincoln. That's how old that law is. And that's going to be the law of land in Arizona. Not quite sure when it takes effect yet, but Kamala Harris is already headed there to give a speech, and it'll get tons of media attention. And so abortion is not off the table.
Right. They will demagogue the hell out of the issue, as they always do. And if I wish people just understood, just so they wouldn't get all up in arms. The judges in the Arizona Supreme Court weren't saying, I don't want any abortions. They were saying, because of the law and the way it was written, when that law, which was superseded by Roe v. Wade, became unsuperseded because Roe v. Wade went away, that law is back in effect. If the legislature would like to change it, why, look, they're in the state house as we speak, and they will do so. That law won't stand. It'll be gone by Christmas.
Right. Yeah, you have to have a law. And so the law that they were going by, the federal Roe versus Wade, went away. So you go by the last law you had. Anyway, that'll be fun to watch, and just, you know, a really good time. And then the other election changing story, perhaps inflation numbers came up, and inflation has ticked up for the third month in a row, basically eliminating any chance that the Fed lowers interest rates. And some economists think there's a chance they raise them again.
Wow.
Yipes, with the hot job numbers from last week and inflation ticking up 3 months in a row. So there you go.
Drama in real life. My wife and I are far from living paycheck to paycheck. We've been quite fortunate. We've certainly lived that lifestyle for years before. But she just texted me from the grocery store saying, I barely bought anything and this bill is enormous. What the H?
Right.
Yeah, it's, you know what? I should have sent her a link to an article where Biden and his various minions are explaining that she's wrong, that inflation is down, and she ought to shut up. I mean, can you imagine a more politically ham-handed and idiotic message than that?
Well, so his former chief of staff, Ron Klain, was caught on a hot mic yesterday talking about this stuff, and he said, I think the president is out there too much talking about bridges. He does two or three events a week where he's cutting a ribbon on a bridge, and here's a bridge. Like I tell you, if you go into the grocery store, you go to the grocery store and you know eggs and milk are expensive. The fact that there's an effing bridge is not something or other. It was inaudible because it was a hot mic, but he actually said an effing bridge. And you're right. Judy's not there thinking, well, our grocery bill was high, but I'm sure glad there's a new federal bridge somewhere.
Right, exactly. The folks in can get from one side of the Arkansas River to the other in Little Rock or what have you. Right, yeah. No, nobody cares. That's some pretty good political analysis from Ron Klain. Speaking of economic fare, I thought this was interesting. The Wall Street Journal, working with Moody's Analytics, assessed about 380 metro areas for the hottest job markets. And the not hottest job markets, and the patterns that emerge are striking. Not at all shocking if you understand even jack squat about economics and business and a business friendly climate, what it looks like. But congratulations to our friends, and we do have some very good friends in beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah. Number one overall rank for the hottest job market. It's business friendly. It's beautiful. It's affordable for now. Like every hot market, it's getting less, but doing great. For over a decade, Salt Lake City's attracted white collar workers from the San Francisco Bay Area, LA, and the tech hub there in Salt Lake City is aptly referred to as Silicon Slopes.
Salt Lake City's nice. Awesome.
I love Salt Lake City. I absolutely love it. And there are a number of great towns that are not far from as well.
Yeah, one of my best friends lives in Sandy, Utah, which is just south of Salt Lake City. And he figured out what his house is worth the other day and was quite pleased as he bought a ginormous house for hardly anything quite a few years ago. But as you're just saying there, the hot market has raised everything.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you're a young person just breaking into the housing market or that sort of thing, it's horrific. We get that, and you have our sympathy.
I'm an old person trying to break into the housing market looking to buy a house, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You combine the prices with the interest rates, it's just like, what's the point?
And I know you consume news of all sorts, including economic news, every day voraciously. Even people like us are like, how is this not a bubble?
Right.
How does this not go pop? I understand. I'm very familiar with the fundamentals that are driving the prices upward, but it sure feels like a bubble. Anyway, I don't mean to scare anybody. Please do not take that advice to heart. Check your local listings or consult your doctor or, I don't know, ask your real estate professional. So after Salt Lake City, which is number one, an odd pattern emerges. Jacksonville, Florida, number two. Orlando, Florida, number three. Tampa, Florida, number four.
I'm sensing a pattern.
I think Ron DeSantis would have been a hell of a good president.
If he weren't weird.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the weird is not a good word. That's a dumb word. It's a bad word. I ask you to retract it.
It's an accurate word. It's the way he comes off. He comes off as weird.
You know what? Yeah, if you're looking for a simple explanation, lacking in the sort of charisma that would tend to... Yeah, weird. Number five, Oklahoma City, a brief departure from the Sunshine State. Then right back to Miami. Mm. Then Austin, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee, Seattle at number nine, and Dallas at number 10. I would draw your attention to the fact that every single one of those places, save Seattle, is in a red state.
Right.
I do not think that is a coincidence. In fact, I'm quite certain that it is not. Just for chuckles, as I love this sort of thing, don't you give me a list of the best of without giving me the worst. I want to know the worst. Memphis, Tennessee is dead flipping last, DFL, followed by Providence, Rhode Island, Chicago, Illinois, Los Angeles, and Pittsburgh, which surprises me. Because 5 years ago, everybody was hearing about what an emerging tech hub Pittsburgh is. They're dinged by labor force participation rank, meaning they have a lot of unemployment there, socioeconomic stuff at work there. I'm not sure what to make of it, but I thought that was revealing. Oh, one more story, unless you had a comment on that. One more story
other,
of that.
Other than if you can't get a job someplace, you got to move.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's expensive to move and hard, and my friends are here. You got to move.
Do you know why everybody came to L.A. in the first place? Because this is a great place to get a job and live. And then if it stops being a great place to get a job and live, you got to go somewhere else. That's just the way the world works. It sucks, but that's the way it works.
Yeah, it can be difficult, expensive, even heartbreaking. But the idea that you have the right to live wherever you want, whether there's opportunity or not, is bizarre. I have no idea how you came by that notion. But, you know, to each their own. Just don't ask for my tax money. That reminds me. Who was sending? It might have been James Woods, whose Twitter account is well worth a follow. But he's sending around this meme. Congrats to everyone who didn't have college debt. Now you do. And he says, I know people who couldn't qualify for scholarships or loans. They never got to enjoy a college education, but will now be paying for some leftist loser who majored in lesbian interpretive dance. Yeah, that's more or less accurate, James, and we thank you for the thought. But back to the whole economics thing in cities and that sort of deal. I was kind of surprised to see a Wall Street Journal report that the worst doom spiral in America is St. Louis. Beautiful, dangerous, crime-ridden St. Louis. And it's all those things. It's a fun city. I know, you know, in the central part of the country where I grew up, virtually everybody's been to St. Louis to see a ball game, go enjoy ribs, the arch, whatever. Wonderful city in a lot of ways, but facing terrible, terrible, tough times right now, partly through woke, progressive mismanagement. But they talk about the Railway Exchange Building, which for decades and decades and decades was kind of the heart of downtown St. Louis. You got a big shopping center on the bottom. Then you got 21 stories of offices. You got a famous restaurant and the rest of it. Today, the building sits empty, with many of its windows boarded up. fire broke out last year. Probably copper thieves who are stripping all the buildings in the downtown business district of St. Louis. It's turning into a ghost town full of broken glass and copper snippets on the pavement from, you know, junkies and thieves who are looting all of these buildings. It's the worst doom spiral in America, and nobody's quite sure what to do about it. The city's largest office building, the 44-story AT&T Tower, just sold for $3.5 million because it's empty. The biggest office building in the city is empty and was just sold for, you know, the price of a hell of a nice house in Malibu or something like that, but $3.5 million. All right, more on that and other fare from the headlines to come. Hope you can stick around.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, which represents 241 smaller colleges and universities, approved a new policy banning transgender women from participating in most of its sports programs. The policy, which will go into effect in August, says, quote, only NAIA student athletes whose biological sex is female may participate in NAIA-sponsored female sports. Defines biological sex, the term they use, as having, quote, distinguishing characteristics and can be supported by birth certificate or signed affidavit, unquote.
Distinguishing characteristics.
We're getting closer. We're getting closer. First of all, a transgender woman is a man. We have a term for that. A man cannot play in women's sports there. And the term biological sex is utterly unnecessary because that's the only kind of sex there is. If you use biological sex, that implies that there are other ways to designate it, and that's silly. There are men and there are women. Now, if a man wants to dress as a woman and use whatever pronouns and call himself Sheila, that's really none of my business. I don't care. But no, don't ask the rest of us to use this tortured language of the radical gender theory crew.
Well, I'm assuming this is a strategy. So I went to an NAIA school, like 5,000 students or whatever. And so they do that first. They've been trying to figure out how to deal with this. And stick your head up and look around. How ugly did it get? Then you go to the NCAA Division II. Stick your head up, look around, see how ugly did it get, and then you get to the big kahuna.
I would be tempted to launch into a very interesting tangent I have about how few people it takes to start quote-unquote, major online furor. It's not many at all.
Bet.
But we don't really have time for that. So getting back to the NAIA thing, Jack, I think you're 100% correct that they will find that other than a handful of online lunatics, nothing happens. The NAIA Council of Presidents passed the historic act without opposition. The vote was 20-0. 20-0. Said the president, Jim Carr, quote, "We know there are a lot of different opinions out there. You know, Jim, there aren't really.
No.
There are very few people who believe dudes who say I'm a girl should be in women's sports. There are a lot of people on the left side of our politics who think they're supposed to say that and so are going along with the crowd just because that's the sort of person they are. But if you look at it, polling, and it's moving rapidly in the direction of sanity, you're on extremely solid ground."
That's wild. So it passed unanimously.
Yeah.
At that level of college. Meanwhile, Leah Thomas, you know, broke all those records and won all those championships at the NCAA level. Crazy.
Right. Fully intact, 6'4" male swimming against the girls. And we will very shortly, very soon, look back. It'll be impossible to explain to people. Well, that was back when men could compete in women's sports. What are you talking about? Well, if they said they were a woman, we had to let them. Well, if they were a man and everybody knew they were a man, yeah, I know, but they let them do it anyway. You won't be able to explain it. But anyway, back to Jim Carr's statement. "For us, we believed our first responsibility was to create fairness and competition in the NAIA. We think it also aligns with the reasons Title IX was created. You're allowed to have separate but equal opportunities for women to compete." Again, Jim, that is absolutely self-evident, and you were 100% correct. The policy starkly contrasts with the NCAA's policy, I would inject for now, which allows the governing bodies of individual sports to decide for themselves the rules that dictate eligibility for trans athletes. That's just a function of the fact that the NCAA is higher profile and more cowardly. They're more conservative, so they didn't want to go up against the lunatics of radical gender theory. They are absolutely desperate to follow the NAIA's footsteps, their footprints. And they will very, very soon, I believe. But they haven't had the courage yet, putting out a mealy-mouthed statement that said as follows, "College sports are the premier stage for women's sports in America, and the NCAA will continue to promote Title IX, make unprecedented investments in women's sports, and ensure fair competition for all student-athletes in all NCAA championships." Well, that's because I believe in, like, the championships, they have rules against men competing against women, but they're very cowardly the rest of the time. I can't remember the particulars, but there's one more thing I wanted to squeeze in. Oh, the chair of the Council of Presidents, St. Ambrose, which is an NAIA school, "The task force spent nearly 2 years reviewing research." Can you imagine? "Meeting with experts." Can you imagine?
"To better understand experts."
"To understand potential policy challenges and obtaining feedback from multiple membership groups. With this policy, we have made our best effort to allow for the inclusion of transgender athletes in any way that does not impact the competitive fairness of women's sports." In other words, go play men's sports. Or found some sort of anything goes league. But stay out of women's sports. You know why? Because you ain't a girl.
The women did beat the men in ratings. The men's NCAA final basketball ratings are out, and they had fewer people watching that game than the women for the first time ever. I'm sure it's never even been close.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It is quite amazing. Well, one's going down and the other one went up.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley.
It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.